Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon Arassalon.
Yep, that is a true fact that he just said.
Today we're going to be talking about the third serial of the sixth season of Doctor Who, The Invasion, which consists of 8 episodes that aired from November 2nd, 1968 to December 21st, 1968. Episodes 1 and 4 are missing, but there are animated reconstructions, and those episodes were provided to us by Mr. Matt Golden of
Thanks, Matt.
That's fine. mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com. That's tumbles without an E because it's Tumblr. And now you can say thanks, Matt.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Yes, thank you, sir.
True facts!
It's been a while since we have had a guest, I feel like. But I don't know. I don't remember.
No, I definitely feel like it's been a while. It's just...
Just the two of us.
You and me.
Just the two of us.
Nobody else to carry us, so let's see how this goes.
I'm sure we're going to miss out on facts galore that... People who are more familiar with Doctor Who.
People who know things.
Yeah, because I was looking up some, like, facts on this serial, and I was like, this is apparently the first serial with a unit character named Bitten, who becomes, like, a recurring character. I don't even remember him in this serial. So, he did not leave much of an impression. I remember Jimmy, but I don't remember Bitten.
I remember the Brigadier. Let's talk about it. Let's,
you ready?
Yeah.
Let's do it?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Now.
Okay. Episode 1, which I have titled Party Not Available. This is animated. Pretty good animation.
I would like to say that I have a title for this serial.
For the whole serial?
Yeah.
What's that?
It's called, aren't there Cybermen in this?
Right. We knew that there were supposed to be Cybermen going in, but they don't show up for a while.
And then halfway through.
And then when they do, there's also an entire episode that after they've been introduced, there's like an entire episode that they're not even in, I feel like.
Yeah.
Also, you know what else is not in this, despite there being Cybermen? No Cybermats.
You know what is in this because there are Cybermen?
Hard to understand voices.
Hard to understand voices and a female character making coffee.
Yep. Yep. That happens in every Cyberman episode / Kit Peddler episode.
What a weirdly specific writing quirk.
Women making coffee or tea.
It's just like, I don't know what they should be doing. Oh, I guess I'll just make them make coffee. Every time. Like, you might be like, this is a weird thing to make fun of. But it's in literally every Cyberman episode. There's a female character making coffee. It's so weirdly specific that I feel the need to point it out.
I think they should bring it back in New Who. Every Cyberman episode. Just as a little nod. The TARDIS reconstructs.
And they're just like, glad that worked. Hey, it worked. Good, cool. We're not dead. Nice.
And then they're floating in space outside the dark side of the moon.
Yeah.
And then that missile gets shot at them and hits the TARDIS, or almost hits the TARDIS.
I thought it hit it, and I was like, oh my god, they just blew up the TARDIS again.
And then they don't address that for like a long while, and for a bit there, I was like, was that just a random thing?
I forgot about it, to be honest, until they don't bring it up again for like episodes later. And when they do, you're like, oh yeah, this whole serial started on the moon for a little bit. I forgot.
And there was a point to it, apparently.
Yes.
But they land in a cow pasture. Field.
Which everyone seems delighted with.
Well, yeah, because they turn on the scanner to see where they are, and there's just a cow there, and they all have a laugh about it. We don't have to worry about these things. They're not going to attack us.
They're just cows.
If this was New Who, those cows would turn out to be aliens, set to kill.
Killer robot cows?
Yeah, that's how it happens. It's like, here's some ordinary, mundane thing, and now it's going to kill you. We make you afraid of shadows. We've made you afraid of...
Eye boogers?
Eye boogers and statues. But the TARDIS is in bad shape, because it got hit, and it's always in bad shape. So he says something about the circuits need fixing, I think.
Yes.
So he takes some circuits and he's gonna find somewhere to fix them up, and then he turns the TARDIS invisible. Has he done it before ever?
He made it smaller
on the inside once.
He made it invisible. I think that's the circuit that was damaged. He wasn't like, I'm gonna make it invisible to hide it better.
So why doesn't he?
Why? Because it's hard to find.
A big blue box is
How do you know where you've parked your invisible TARDIS?
a big blue box is pretty conspicuous.
Yeah, I think the point is that he doesn't really give a damn.
But I mean, isn't that what it's supposed to do anyway? It's camouflage?
Yeah, it's supposed to. It just doesn't.
So anyway, they're going to take these circuits, and they say they're going to go try to find Travers as long as he's not a baby.
I don't know where, when they are.
And it's very obvious watching this that this serial was originally conceived with the idea of having Anne and Travers back. And then I've read some stuff. It was either, it's kind of conflicting, and I don't know what the real case is. Either that they had the rights to use Anne and Travers, but when they were writing it, they realized they didn't actually need them. So they kept minimizing their roles, and they're like, oh, we just don't need them.
They didn't want to pay then
the
actors.
There's another version of it that they didn't want to pay the writers for the rights to use it. And then there's yet another version of it that I've read that the writers themselves, the writers of like the two Yeti episodes we had, that the writers of that wouldn't grant them the permission to use the characters. So I don't know what the real case is, but it feels pretty obvious that there's a Professor Watkins and his, I don't know, was it his daughter, Isabel?
Niece?
Something. That were very clearly supposed to be Travers and Anne. They're living in Travers. Like, why even put Travers and Anne references in there?
Because it makes it so obvious. Because they're like, yeah, let's go look for Travers. And they go to, they look him up. They look up his apartment. They go there. And there's just this girl there. And she's like, yeah, my uncle lives here now. I just sort of moved in. We both moved in after Travers moved out.
If I remember correctly, I think they might be sort of house sitting. Sort of top of deal, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, he's went away to do something and they're staying there while he's gone.
Yeah. And she's like, I needed a place to stay and he was house sitting, so.
And now I'm just gonna write on his walls. Because that's the thing Isabel does.
Yeah, it is kind of rude when you think that it's not really her place. I didn't think about that. She doesn't like to keep notes on paper because she would lose them, which is something I can identify with. She writes all of her notes on the walls.
In the animation, they put Bad Wolf on the wall as well.
I didn't notice that.
I didn't either, but I read about it.
That's neat.
Before they get there, though, there was a whole scene that I sort of blanked out on a bit, which...
You blanked out on?
Yeah, because they get picked up by this guy in a truck.
Oh, yeah, you kept asking me questions during that scene.
I don't know. I had, like, a hard time focusing on what was happening. He's, like, scoping out this company, this building, which is the IE
building.
And
they're like, what company? And he's like, well, you guys must really be from out of town. There's only one company.
Like, basically, like, these people are kind of sketchy. You guys should go. And then they go. And then he gets caught and shot by guards from the place.
Yes.
I don't know. I just totally blanked on that scene. I don't know
weird.
Why.
I mean, you
couldn't concentrate on
it. You basically summarized it fairly well, so...
I wouldn't say I did it fairly well.
I threw in some qualifiers there.
So it's just setting up that this IE place is pretty bad, which is what it's like International Electronics or something. Anyway, then they get picked up by somebody else and get taken to Travers' apartment.
To be honest, that scene's not like the most helpful in setting anything up ever.
And everything's gonna get set up anyway. Also, from what I've read, there was supposed to be another serial after this one. I think it's called The Dream Spinners. I don't know what it was about.
Sounds neat.
Yeah, and it didn't come through. And it was supposed to be a four-parter. This one was supposed to be a four-parter. And they had to expand it to an eight-parter, which is probably not the best idea.
That is something that I've heard about this, is that it's a solid story where you can tell they were kind of, yeah, they're right.
Which is weird, though, considering there's stuff in this serial that, like, they just jump forward like they never do before.
Oh, yeah, we skip over a whole scene.
So that's in an upcoming episode. We'll get to that one. But, yeah. So they go to the apartment. The doctor rings the doorbell, much to the annoyance of Isabel, who is trying to do a photo shoot.
She's taking selfies, by the way.
She is taking selfies.
I need to point that out.
So she's posing, and every time the doorbell rings, she turns to look, and the timer goes off. It goes, ka-shh. She's like, by the way, this is our first introduction to Isabel in it's an animated form. It was interesting watching the second episode being like, oh, that's what they actually look like.
I think they're all pretty good except for Isabel.
Yeah, Isabel was particularly bad, though. They made her face like way too wide. I don't know, she looked slightly scary.
I mean,
everybody else was pretty okay.
And other than that, I think the animation in this reconstruction is particularly fluid compared to that other one. Another one that's not as good.
The one we just watched in theaters?
No, but that one too. I was thinking specifically of the Revolution one.
Reign of Terror.
Reign of Terror.
Reign of Terror is the worst one, though, I feel like, that we've seen. I'll also say there's a unit guy coming up. His name's Jimmy. He looks pretty close to his real self, but he also kind of looks like Jim Carrey's character from Dumb and Dumber. A little wobbly. But everybody else is pretty okay. So anyway, Isabel lets them in. But Isabel starts taking photos.
She basically grabs Zoe and is like, oh my, what a beautiful model. Come here, stand like this. And Zoe is loving it.
And so are we. And then Jamie's like, hey, maybe takes pictures of me. And she's like, no.
No, thanks.
Not interested. Isabel and Zoe. I ship them.
What don't you ship?
Ben and Polly.
Oh, jeez.
Don't get it. I don't get it. But then she's like, Watkins won't be returning for a while because they're like, can Watkins help us with this thing? She's like, he's working for IE. She hasn't actually heard from him in a while.
She doesn't seem all that worried about it, actually. She's like, yeah, he does this. He'll disappear for a while.
But Jamie immediately is like, I bet he's been kidnapped. Everybody's like, probably not, Jamie. Probably not. But he did. He is. He's been kidnapped.
Jamie's right. He was totally kidnapped.
And but they're like, well, let's call and see if we can get a hold of him. And they call and they get a automated, you know, robot lady.
This is the first we get of the doctor being like, ugh, fucking computers. I hate computers. Computers are the worst. Which is a theme for him, the serial. The doctor does not like computers.
He literally says, I hate computers at one point.
He thinks they're stupid.
This is the most grumpy old man he's been in his incarnation as two. Kids and their computers.
It's a very odd thing for a character who's so science-minded to be...
Who's carrying around circuits in his pocket.
Who has a technically advanced time machine to be grumpy because he hates computers.
He also doesn't like Twitter, though.
It's true. He is probably at the core of him just a grumpy old man. That's probably true.
I'm sure there's smart people that are also grumpy.
Grumpy old men. Sure. He's a very science-minded character. And I think I oftentimes, at least, have a tendency to affiliate that with technology and being a technology-positive character. So it's, I guess it's just an odd thing for me living in the era that I live in. I take my computer everywhere with me. It's not like a, oh yeah, those newfangled computer things are stupid.
I will say I also don't like talking to automated
machines. That's true. No, I mean, nobody does.
I have to do it at work. I have to call in these things. When we get memberships, we have to, if they don't want them to auto-renew, we have to call this number. And then what I really don't like is just like how it's like trying to make you think that you're talking to a real person. Okay, tell me what you want to do today.
You don't want it to try and fool you. Like if you're gonna be an automated answering machine, be an automated answering machine.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weirder for me when they're like, we have a personality. I don't know. Especially when you have to hear that same chipper thing 300 times in one day, because I have to call him back over and over and over again.
Don't lie to me. I know you're just as dead inside as me.
Exactly.
Nobody's that happy. That's how I know you're a robot.
You're too happy. But
I just,
yeah.
Think about my mom being on the phone. My mom's notorious. Oh, she never listens to this. My mom's notorious for like, if you're having a problem with, like, customer service or something, you give the phone to my mom. But she gets so frustrated sometimes. I just remember her being on the phone being, like, with, like, an automated thing. And she's pissed. She's calling customer service for some reason because something's, you know, didn't go right. And she's pissed. And, like, the automated service is, like, chipperly telling her nothing useful. And she's just like, let me talk to a person!
That sounds like your mom.
I have a very vivid memory of that.
What's bad is like when you're grumpy and you don't have anything to unleash on because it's just a machine. And it's like, what?
It's so futile.
Like, what's your account number? And you're just like, 574! And it doesn't understand you because you're angry.
You're angry.
So you have to do it again.
You have to try to sound calm so it can understand you.
Recognize my goddamn voice!
I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
No!
It's a string of like 20 numbers and you have to start all over again. Anyway.
So they call, the answering machine is not very helpful and says the party is not available. And they're like, that's bullshit, he's there.
He's not available. Go get him. Go make him available.
So they're like, screw this machine, we're gonna go there in person. And Zoe's like, I'm gonna stay here because I'm enjoying the modeling life.
Being kind of pampered, and I like it.
This is also when we get the thing about her writing on the walls. Was it like where the address of where the place was or something?
Yeah, they're like, all right, we're gonna go down to this place where he works, where your uncle works. Where is it? She's like, I think it's on the wall somewhere.
She's like, I write on the wall because paper gets thrown away. A wall doesn't get thrown away.
You're not gonna lose a wall.
Like, all right, that's a little weird, but okay.
Dude, it's not your place.
So Jamie and the doctor go out. They're being followed. Is this the point where they're being followed? Yeah, they're being followed by, like, these people in a car. These sketchy-looking dudes. Anyway, they get to the IE place. They're, like, looking around. They eventually go into a door that says personnel only or something. Whatever.
We don't follow rules.
And then they meet the large computer that they talk to on the phone, and it is still very unhelpful. And they're like, well, we're just gonna, since this thing's not being helpful at all, we're gonna go poke our nose around, as we are wont to do. Then they get gassed.
Which seems very dramatic. I don't know, if I was poking around a company, I would not expect to get gassed.
No?
No?
That's, like, standard.
I would expect to get arrested, maybe, but not gassed.
What about shot? Stabbed? Any of those?
Maybe.
Just arrested?
Just arrested.
I just think that's pretty naive.
You think I should expect to get shot?
You should always expect to get shot.
Constantly?
Yeah, even if it's not the case, it'll keep you on your toes.
Right.
So they get taken by this guy named Packer, who...
is a little intense.
I'm going to actually say he's a little unevenly written, too.
It's funny because I was going to say uneven, as in describing his personality.
Because he starts off this serial as like, I want to punch things. But then like the last half of the serial, he's just worried all the time. He's just a big worrywart. Like, oh, is this really going to work? What is it? But like, he doesn't start off that way. He starts off that way. Like, I'm going to interrogate him with my fists. And then he has to be told, no.
Calm down.
That doesn't really stick around, that aspect of him.
I think it's just other things become more important in his life. But it is odd that you're like, they're going to do this story about, they've had a couple of characters who are like a little bit too into violence. Usually they're the henchmen, but it really doesn't end up playing into anything. It's just a thing about him that we know.
Packer also has a difficulty with cameras. We'll get to that. but he takes them to the guy who runs the place. His name is Tobias Vaughn, and he's very deliciously evil, and also played Mavic Chin in the Daleks Master Plan, and I didn't realize that until recently. I think it's because in the Daleks Master Plan, he was wearing makeup to make him look...
He's got a little bit of some alien...
Yeah, I'm going to say it's alien makeup and not just, you know, brown face.
Oh.
That's what I'm hoping for. It's black and white, so I don't know. But he's way darker in the Daleks Master Plan and way whiter here. Well, not specifically in this episode because this episode's animated, but when we eventually do.
We do see him.
But he talks to him a bit, and the doctor is like, we were just trying to get some help with these circuits. And he's like, let me see them circuits. And then there's a nice subtle shot where he like pulls his...
he pulls open a drawer to put throws the circuits into him.
Well, he's pulling out something to give to Jamie. He's pulling out the radio.
The radio!
He pulls out, he's like, yeah, we work on stuff like this. And he pulls out a drawer and he pulls out this radio. But inside the drawer is a gun. And there's no like dramatic sting or anything. It's just kind of there, subtly being ominous. It was great.
Until they showed it four more times?
Yeah, until they showed it four more times. But at the time, it was...
Which, and we don't know...
How much of that was animation, how much of that was...
Yeah.
Originally there. It was good the first time, though. I liked it. But then he gives Jamie this radio, this little handheld portable radio. And,
which Jamie loves, by the way.
The doctor hates it.
He's so unimpressed.
He's like, kids and their music. They are then escorted out. I think he says, I'm going to work on these circuits for you and I'll get back to you. Which he's not going to do. I mean, he's going to work on them, but he's not going to give them back to the doctor. And then once they are out of the building, Jamie's like, that guy seemed okay, and he gave me this nice toy. And the doctor's like, no, there's something wrong with him. He did not blink enough, which is setting up something that happened, that there is about him, that I actually kept forgetting was a thing.
Really?
And ultimately, I don't think it really contributed much to the story.
No, not really. He's already kind of all roboted.
Yeah, he's got a cyber body, basically. Because you got Cybermen in this.
Guys, you might have forgotten, but the Cybermen are in this.
So the doctor doesn't trust Vaughn, and then Vaughn opens his wall, which is like this big, it swings upwards.
Not in the way you would expect a secret wall to swing.
Right, like it doesn't go straight up, it doesn't go straight to the right, or straight to the left, or straight down.
It
pivots.
On a corner, it swings upward.
Upward, up and to the right.
Yeah.
Like a big wave. Like you're waving hello. So the wall swings open, and behind the wall is this shiny...
light bulb friend?
It's a big machiney thingy with sparkly bits. That's the end of the episode. And we're now into episode 2, which I've called Brigged Up.
What does that mean?
He's no longer a sergeant or colonel or whatever he was. He's now the brig.
So he's been brigged up.
It's not a very good title. Moving on. So then we get a repeat of what happened, and the shiny machine from the animation is not as shiny and sparkly in real life. Still pretty good, though.
It's a neat-looking doodly.
Zoe and Isabel take a break from modeling so that they can drink some coffee. Because this is a Kent Peddler story. And Zoe's worried about the doctor and Jamie. Which she has a good right to be because the doctor and Jamie are being followed. They're running from these people chasing them. And they go down this alleyway. And they basically get cornered. There's people on both sides of the alleyway coming at them. So the doctor's like, no, we just let them do what they're going to do. And sits down in the alleyway and starts dealing out cards for him and Jamie. And then the people show up and he's like, basically like offers to let them join in. And then of course they don't go along with it. The doctor just looks disappointed. The doctor is so doctor in this serial. There's a handful of those type of moments where he's just like, all right, gonna do something silly now. Meanwhile, Vaughn has passed off the circuits to this scientist to figure him out and gives him 1 hour. I don't know, these villains tend to give an hour time limit to everything.
Why give time limits?
And also, it's like, just, you know, do your best. Let me know when you're done. I can, and if it's for, like, your enemy, like, you have an hour to decide your fate. No, just let them decide then. Like, do this or else.
Yeah, you just gave them an hour to think of a way to screw you over.
And then Hacker comes on. He has three little circles on his wall.
I don't know why there are three of them, because they all display the same thing, all three of them.
And I don't even remember what Packer was saying. I just know he's way too close to the camera. So it, like, awkwardly cuts his face out. So it's just like his eyes, his nose. Eyes
and, like, the top part of his mouth.
He's like, is this on? Is this on?
And he's tap. Clearly too close to the mic, too. It's, like, all distorted.
And I was like, is this just, like, the way that the circular screen cuts him off? Or is he too close? And then, like, later somebody else comes on the screen. And they're fine. They're, like, a distant amount away. You can see their entire face, a little bit of their body even, and they're nicely framed. But every time Packer's on, it's like,
I like to think that Packer's just very bad at using whatever the communication device is. He's the guy who, like, am I close enough to it? Can it hear me? And everyone's like, yes, come back. But no one can teach him, so they just let him.
Then we go have yet another scene of Zoe and Isabel being worried about the doctor and Jamie. That I couldn't quite hear all of it because they were listening to this picnic music.
It's the teddy bear picnic.
I've never heard that
song.
You
never heard the teddy bear picnic before?
In that episode,
today's
I did.
The day the teddy bears have their picnic. That's the song that's playing.
And that's all you can hear in that scene.
It's overpowering the dialogue quite a bit. Which is fine because basically the scene is just like, I'm still worried about the doctor. Should we do something about it? Yeah, I think so.
And they decide to leave. Speaking of jaunty music, we get some more jaunty music. There's a plane and the hatch of it's opening up and there's this like really jaunty music. And then a car drives into the plane and it's the car that's picked up Jamie and the doctor. And they're driving them into this giant plane that of course turns out to be Unit.
It's the best music. Can you like hum it?
I can't, but it was like very, it's not the first time, only time it plays either. Anytime they go in or out of that.
It's Unit's theme song.
Yeah, like, and bum, 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 bum. It's like very chipper and happy.
Unit's theme song is very bouncy.
And then the Brigadier is back.
And he's the Brigadier.
For real now.
Yeah, he's officially been promoted, and it's been four years? Four years since...
The Web of Fear.
That, I think, all follows, right? The Web of Fear is like a little bit in the future, and this is a little bit in the future, correct? It's like 80s.
Well, no, this had to be 70-something, I feel like.
70s.
Because, like, what was it? That Yeti one was, like, 35, and then the second one was, like, 40 years later or something like that. So it's, like, maybe 79 or 80, maybe? If I'm mathing right.
Who knows? But I think it all follows still.
So far, yeah.
So I think it maybe doesn't get messy till the next time we see him.
And then the Brigadier's like, can I get you anything? And the doctor's like, yes, tea and a patty cake biscuit.
I just love the doctor asking for cookies.
He eats a lot on this show. Just snacking and
just to like, look, drinking. I'm going to solve all your problems. I need a thing of cookies and we're golden.
So the Brig gives them an update saying that they've been keeping an eye on this IE building and that people go in,
but they don't come out.
What? And then people go into the building who are Zoe and Isabel. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, no. Because they're not going to come out.
And then they go to talk to the machine.
Which Zoe is having none of. Zoe, by the way, is like the computer person. I was going to call her computer science major. She's not, because she's from the future and has no concept of such things. But she's like, I'm going to talk to this computer in a programming language. And fuck its shit up, because frankly, it's rude. It's not helpful. So I'm just gonna blow it up.
She starts shouting nonsense at it, like, solve this problem. And then she's like, this problem's not solvable. I'm just gonna confuse it. And then it overheats and explodes. And then they laugh.
They are so delighted at the destruction that they've caused. They're like, this is the best thing. Both of them just giggling.
It's like very evil.
Yes.
Slightly before this, Vaughn has a really nice picture of Jamie and the Doctor.
Sweet
picture. It's adorable. And he shows it to the glowy thing in his wall. The glowy machine examines the photo and says that they're hostile. They dealt with them on Planet 14, which I don't know what that is. We've met the Cybermen before. None of them were... One of them was Earth and Mondas. They weren't really even on Mondas, were they? There was this Tomb of the Cybermen. I don't... I think that was
on Mondas.
Was that on Mondas?
Wasn't it? I don't remember.
And there was the one where they were on the moon, which is the moon base. And there was the Wheel in Space. But I don't think they were ever on a Planet 14.
Maybe the Wheel in Space is Planet 14?
It's not a planet.
They're not on a planet at any time during the Wheel in Space?
No, it's a wheel.
It's just a wheel in space. All right. I don't know.
So I don't know what that is. Is it something that's in the future?
I don't know.
But the past for them? Think about it.
Think about it.
If you have an explanation, feel free to write to us at, you know... our website.
That's helpful.
Or our Twitter. But then Vaughn sees that Zoe has exploded the computer, and he's actually laughing about it, too. Like, that's kind of funny.
That's pretty clever. Good on them.
He's like, but guards, go get them. And the guards
go get them.
By
the way, the cyber machine is like, hey, you need to destroy them. They're hostile. Like, at the first chance you get, destroy them. And he's like, no, I won't do it.
Why not?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to.
Okay.
They're interesting. He's got the circuits from the Doctor. He wants to learn more about them. And I think at this point, Jamie has kind of dropped hints at the TARDIS being a thing.
Yeah, because none of the companions are good at keeping that shit a secret.
He's like, yeah, these circuits, when they were originally in his office talking about the circuits, he's like, they're pretty weird.
No, it's not this scene, it's a later scene.
It's a later scene.
We'll get there, it's the scene with Jamie, it's when they meet Markin.
Yes, okay, yeah. But the circuits are intriguing to him.
Because he doesn't know what they do.
So he doesn't want to eliminate them until he can figure that out. And he gets into kind of a fight, there's like a little bit of a power struggle.
With Vaughn and the... It's the Cybermen. Guys, there are Cybermen in this.
There's a little bit of a power struggle, yeah. And he's like, listen, I don't take orders from you. I'm helping you. And if I don't get what I want, I'm out. And if I'm out, the whole invasion doesn't go as planned. And the cyber thing agrees.
Meanwhile, back at unit, Brig gives the Doctor a really fancy walkie-talkie toy. It's like a stick that you talk into. It's really cool. It's like, use this if you need our help and blah, blah, blah. And then they return to Isabel's. They're gone. While they're like... Oh, but their sandwich is here. Let's eat them.
Which, as previously stated, is always my favorite.
While they're eating their sandwiches, the Doctor examines the radio that Jamie got, and there's a weird piece inside of it that isn't connected to the radio at all, and he doesn't know what it's for. And he's trying to figure out what that's for. And then they're like, well, where's Zoe and Isabel? And they're like, oh, right,
we should check
wall.
The wall. If they left a note, that's where it would be.
Isabel was forward-thinking. She was predicted the Facebook wall.
Before her time.
Meanwhile, Zoe and Isabel get taken to Vaughn. And Vaughn basically is going to use them to convince Watkins to work on this thing he's working on.
They have your niece!
This sketchy device that we'll learn about more later.
You don't do what I say!
Yeah.
I'll probably kill her or something.
The Doctor calls the Brigadier to see if Zoe and Isabel went into the building, because they've been keeping an eye on it. And he's like, yep. And they're like, well, shit. We gotta go save him, I guess. So they sneak in through a back door area, this train track area. I guess it's like a loading bay or something. So Jamie and the Doctor sneak in, and these people are carrying these giant heavy crates. One guy is lifting up a whole crate, even though it doesn't look heavy at all. It looks like a guy carrying an empty thing.
An empty cardboard prop? The props themselves look really good.
Yeah, it's just like when you set them down, they wobble a bit, so it doesn't look heavy.
Mm-hmm.
The Doctor and Jamie are like, well, maybe it is empty, and they go to lift it up, and they're like, fuck no, that's heavy. We've just sold that to the audience. And,
They actually do a very good job.
They do. The guy carrying the crate does not. Like, I know it's partly be like the guy carrying the crate. It's like, this is no big deal to him. But, like, you should set it down a little more carefully, I feel like. Because, like, if you just drop it and it wobbles, that doesn't sell it very well. Anyway, Jamie and the doctor hear screams. It's Zoe and Isabel. They get put into the crates. These big, big boxes that are so heavy. Jamie's like, I'm gonna go fight him. And the doctor's like, no. And Jamie jumps a guard and immediately alerts everyone that they're there. And then they get caught. And that's it. That's the end of episode 2.
That scene where he does jump the guard looks really neat. And Jamie's adorable, even though he's an idiot.
We are now into episode 3, which I've called Lift of Death. Because that's pretty much the only thing that happened in this episode, is this scene with the elevator. Like, this episode is probably the most fillery of the episodes. So they talk to Vaughn. Jamie's like, I saw Zoe and Isabel getting put in those boxes. And Vaughn's like, well, I'll let you examine the boxes. They're empty. They're going to be empty. They go to look at them, and the truck that the boxes have been put in has already left. And Vaughn's just like, oh, well.
Oh, no.
Guess we were too late. It's not like I can't just call them back or something.
Oh, it's a train.
So they're going to take Jamie and the doctor to wherever those crates are going to go to, I guess.
So they can check the crates themselves.
And Jamie calls Shotgun, which annoys Packer. Meanwhile, the brig is keeping an eye on them with that helicopter that they always use. I actually heard they got cooperation from the army to do all that shit with, like, the plane and the helicopter. And yeah.
Oh, neat.
So Vaughn takes the doctor and Jamie on a tour of the facility or whatever, but tells Packer to check in on Watkins and make sure he's making that device that he's been working on, and implies that violence will be totally okay in this situation. And then we get to Vaughn's office at this other building, and it's the exact same set. It's the exact same set. And he's like, yeah, it's designed to look exactly like my office from the other, our other location.
Some businessman, and I gotta, like, stay focused, and so it's more efficient if everything's in the exact same place, which is, I think, a really clever way of disguising the fact that you only have one set. It kind of implies that he has shit tons of money in a way that hides the fact that you don't.
And this is the point where the doctor literally says, I hate computers and refuse to be bullied by them. He sounds like some old guy on Twitter. So Vaughn says he'll get Watkins to help them out with their circuits or something? I don't remember. Circuits, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's being very nice to them, blah, blah, blah. But Jamie and the doctor are like, I'm not so sure.
We don't know about this.
Meanwhile, Watkins is saying he will not finish his work because he does not think it's good. But Packer is like, we're going to hurt Isabel if you don't. And he's like, well, if I do it, will you let Isabel go? And they're like, we're not going to let her go because she's our, you know, safety net. But we won't hurt her. So there's that.
Even he's like, you expect me to, like, actually believe you?
And then there's a scene of the doctor looking at some buildings across the way, which I don't remember what these buildings are at all. I just know it was adorable because he pulled out this telescope and propped it on Jamie's shoulder to look at it. They're adorable goofballs. And then the doctor and Jamie get taken to Watkins. And Watkins is like, yeah, I heard about you, doctor, from Anne Travers. And he's immediately like, oh, you know, the things she said were probably a little exaggerated and blah, blah, blah. Jamie's like, no, it's not. And this is a scene where he almost gives away everything.
Yeah.
And the doctor's like, shh. And he's sort of like pointing to this, there's this shelf and it's got basically a little hidden camera on it that Vaughn is using to spy in on them. Then the doctor puts a magnet next to the camera and disables the camera. And then Vaughn comes in and is like, good job on using a magnet.
Very clever.
But he's like, you're going to give me your TARDIS, your time machine, or I'm going to hurt Zoe. You have 1 hour to consider giving up your TARDIS. You have 1 hour to rescue Zoe and Isabel, basically. So the Packer takes them away. The doctor's like, okay, you know what? Fine. I'll talk. He's like, but what's that there? Or something. And Packer's like, what? And then, like, the doctor just shoves Packer down and then, like, gets inside the elevator and fucks around with it.
Yeah.
He's like, this will either, like, do something.
It's the second doctor's famous 50-50. This will either explode and kill us all, or it'll
save
be
the day.
Perfect solution to all of our problems.
Oh.
50-50. I like those odds.
And this is the point where Packer starts being what I'm going to call Packer 2.0, where he's just an idiot now. And he's, like, talking on his, he's trying to, like, figure out what's wrong with the elevator.
By the way, he has this risk communicator. But he talks into it. He talks into it, talks into his wrist, and then puts his wrist up to his ear to listen, which seems to me to be a really
inefficient way to have a conversation.
So you're talking like this, and then when you're done talking, you have to move it up to your ear. You ever start talking to at the same time as someone?
Yeah.
And you're like, what? What? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Speaker was by my mouth.
And when he's putting it to his ear, you can barely hear the other conversation, which is literally just something going.
I bet you don't have to put it up to your ear. Again, it's just that Packer
doesn't know how to use technology.
Yeah.
And he's just like, you know, they're in the elevator and blah, blah, blah. I don't know where. Inside the elevator, the doctor's like, stop the elevator on the floor. He's like, locked it off and stuff. And they're like.
That was his 50-50 thing.
He's like.
It was like, either this will stop the elevator or it'll send it careening down the.
Shaft.
I didn't want to say shaft.
And Jamie's like, well, what do we do now, doctor? And he's like, get on my back. And Jamie's like, you're a clever wee chappy.
He says that.
They take out the ceiling thing and they get up and they start climbing up the elevator. And then eventually they get the doors open. Packer does. And he's like, oh, there's no one in here. What? And
where could they have gone?
And he has another. He's like, it's they vanished. And he has another watch conversation like, they're gone. And then like Vaughn's like, you're an idiot. They probably went through the roof. And he's like, oh. Oh, so he sends everyone to the roof, and he's like, wait a second, I'm going to send that elevator all the way up, because it'll smush them.
Which, by the way, Vaughn had already said, I want them alive, because they know things, I want to figure out where their TARDIS is, and Packer's like, nope, gonna kill him, that seems more fun to me.
So there's a harrowing thing of, you know, Jamie and the doctor climbing up the elevator shaft, and there's a big thing of graffiti that just says, Kilroy was here, which is, I like that graffiti, I don't know why. It didn't have the guy, though, it didn't have the face. My dad once convinced me that Kilroy was here was a reference to Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto, that song, because there's the bit in the song where he says, I am Kilroy, and I just believed him, and he was bullshitting. I believed it for a very long time. This episode predates that song from the 80s.
Could you imagine if that was the way you found out, was watching this episode?
I'd be like, I'm calling Dad right now. Anyways, they get to the roof. Then they're like running all over the roof trying to figure out how to get down. Meanwhile, touching each other a whole
lot. I just remembered
lot.
What the things he was looking at were. They were communication thingies. They weren't satellites, but they were satellites. They were communication thingies to talk to space.
Oh. So they start. They take the fire escape down. And then Vaughn yells at Packer for being an idiot. The doctor and Jamie get on this train. They see the cases and they start looking for Zoe, but they can't find her. And then because they hear people coming up. So Jamie gets into one of the cases. And then something in the case is moving. And Jamie looks scared. And that's the end of episode 3.
And can I tell you how much I hated that?
You didn't like that?
It creeps me out in a way that I can't adequately describe.
So yeah, but really though, nothing in that episode happened except for them, that elevator thing. But we're now into episode 4, which I've called The Rescuers, because it's animated.
Oh, I see. And they're all mice.
For some reason in this animation, they made them all look like mice. There's one, was it a pelican? I don't remember. No, it's a seagull, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
One of them is a seagull.
Some kind of bird.
Vaughn is a seagull.
None of that's true.
Or
we're lying
is it?
To you.
Or is it?
You don't know.
Did you watch the animated recon? Maybe you did. If you did, then you know we're lying. But if you didn't, then maybe we're telling the truth, even though I said we were lying.
So anyway, episode 4.
The people that were coming looking for them leave, and Jamie gets out and says something moved, and the doctor says that classic line, nah.
I don't believe you.
I don't believe people when they say they saw something.
I don't have any really good reason to not believe you, but I don't.
Jamie, you're acting like a female companion.
Whoa.
Usually it's a female companion who says they saw something. And the men are like, no, you didn't. This time it's Jamie. So progress? I don't know. So Vaughn has another conversation with Packer about their plans, which they have a lot of conversations about their plans. And he tells Packer, like, basically, I'm going to betray them. You're going to double cross them. And we're going to destroy them with emotions. I'm working on an emotion machine that will give the Cybermen emotions and they won't be able to handle it. And then they'll just die from feels.
Right, because Cybermen are in this.
You guys, Cybermen are in this. We're in episode 4. We've not seen a single Cyberman. We've seen hints at one. And if Vaughn's plan fails, they're going to use the TARDIS to escape. So that's why he wants the TARDIS so bad.
Insurance.
Meanwhile, the crates are unloaded. The Doctor and Janie watch this, and they decide not to call for help from the unit quite yet. They're going to wait until they actually have Zoe and Isabel, which I don't know why. Call them now. It's fine. And then Packer tells Vaughn that he thinks that the Doctor is with unit, and Vaughn is not worried. Which is is another thing that comes up a lot, of Packer being super worried about stuff, and Vaughn being like, no, it's cool, I'm the bad guy.
I'm the bad guy, I've got this under control.
And then Packer's like, but are you sure? And Vaughn's like, fuck you, I've got this under control! Literally.
Yeah.
He'll just like get really super angry after being so calm, cool, and collected for like 5 minutes. So the Doctor and Jamie think they found the building that Zoe is in. I don't remember how. But they do. And then there's an announcement made over the speakers that's Vaughn saying, Doctor, you have 10 minutes to give up your TARDIS, or we kill Zoe, or hurt Zoe. And the Doctor's like, that's plenty of time for a rescue. And they find the building and they start sort of climbing up it. Zoe sees them and is like, hey. And the Doctor like signals at her to be quiet. Like, don't let them know that.
Don't tip them off that we found you.
And then Zoe notices that there's a camera in their room spying on them. So she's like, oh, okay, that's why. Then the Doctor calls the brig for help, saying, like, send a helicopter over, please. Please and thank you.
Please and thank you. I will take one helicopter.
Vaughn notices that the helicopter is coming and orders that the helicopter be stopped, possibly even shot down.
Which, by the way, I told you that this company is, like, intense. They have their own private army?
Yeah.
What's up with that?
You don't think corporations have their own private army?
I feel like I don't feel comfortable with that.
You don't think they do? You think you just get arrested?
Yes.
You're so naive. You always assume that you're going to be shot by the corporation's personal army.
Oh.
Always. When you're doing your corporate espionage. Always, Tony. What have I told you? What have I always told you? Always expect to be shot at by a corporation's personal army. That's rule number one.
Right.
Rule number two is always pack a second pair of underwear. All right, so where were we? So the helicopter shows up, drops a rope ladder, and Jamie climbs to Zoe and Isabel. I mean, they're barricading the door. This is turning into like an action movie. I'm a little sad it doesn't exist, but the animation looks really good, so this probably looks better than what they filmed.
Rude.
It might. Who knows? I don't know. They all climb up the helicopter ladder. They start getting shot at. They all get into the helicopter except for Jamie. Jamie's hanging on to the ladder, and the helicopter takes off with Jamie still hanging on.
Joe did not like.
Apparently, the lady who played Isabel had problems when they were filming this scene of her skirt flying up.
Oh no.
And Jamie was having the same problem with his kilt, but he had someone sew weights into the hem of his kilt.
Because
he heard that the queen did the same thing in her, like, dresses for the same reason. So.
That's clever.
And we didn't get to see any of that because this is animated.
It was very action-y for footage that sadly does not exist anymore.
Yeah, there's, like, a shot of, like, the Doctor running along the edge of the building, jumping while bullets are being fired. Which I just realized they probably rotoscoped from that other scene where he was being shot at in, like, the last episode.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, that scene looked really good. Oh, yeah, they rotoscoped that from something else. Then Vaughn's still trying to stay cool, but he's, like, really grumpy. And he's like, 24 hours to invasion. We're moving this forward because these fuckers are fucking with us. We're going to move the invasion ahead. Vaughn makes a call to this political guy. I don't remember what his position was.
He's higher up in unit.
Yeah, I don't know if he's actually in unit, but he's above unit.
Yeah.
Vaughn calls him and tells him, tell unit to stop fucking with our shit. Stop interfering with us.
Make unit back off.
And then at this point, this is when the missile from episode one is brought back up. And they're like, there's a ship on the other side of the moon. Who could it be? And they're like, yeah, there's been a lot of UFO sightings lately. We're bringing that up now.
Episode four is a good time to start talking about major plot developments.
We're back at unit base, by the way. I don't know if I said that.
I think we're back into stuff that was, like, written. That was written with the intention of being four episodes. We finally hit one of them.
So Watkins, meanwhile, is like, I want to see Isabel. And they're like, finish the machine. And both of you will go free. You have 24 hours to do so. But even though Isabel's free at this point, Watkins just doesn't know.
By the way, they're getting into the helicopter, right? And all of them are shooting at them and stuff. How many men do you think they were shooting at them?
Three?
And like, none of them. Not a one of them can hit anything, which is just what happens when you're being shot at in a play or a play. When you're being shot at in a story and you're the good guy, no one can hit you.
When you're being shot at in a book.
But I thought it was funny because they threw in some line where it was like, oh, you guys go get out okay? And one of the unit soldiers is like, yeah, they couldn't shoot for shit. That's not the line. But it's the essence of the line. I thought that was good. I appreciated that.
That they lampshaded it?
Yeah.
So they're like, well, what do we do now? And the doctor's like, well, we got to go back to Vaughn's and check out those crates, even though we just left. We have to know what's in those crates. Like, how are we going to do that? And he's like, I'm going to need a canoe. And then we just get Jamie and the doctor canoeing into the building? There's a canoe route? And they get in and they sneak around. Then there's these people and there's a spinny science thing and it's flashing and techno music is playing. And then, guys, Cybermen are in this.
Cybermen are in this.
A Cyberman busts out of his little... He's got to bust out of things. Cybermen always got to bust out of things. He busts out of this, like, membrane-y bullshit
thing
from the crate. And that's the end of episode 4. We are now into episode 5, which I have called Once More with Feels.
No. End of episode 4. Not even like, oh, we're halfway through and we finally see a Cyberman. It's the bitter end of episode 4 that they make their dramatic entrance.
And honestly, they don't do an awful lot in this serial. They're barely in it. It's more about Vaughn than it is the Cybermen. Also, I want to say that the Brigadier pronounces the word Cyberman like I do.
The way Joe does.
So I feel justified in calling them Cybermen.
You and the Brig.
Me and the Brig. Buds forever. They're like, okay, we now know that they're Cybermen. Let's canoe out of here. So they canoe out of there. And then there's a guy at unit, I think his name is Jimmy. He starts flirting with Isabel. And then she's like, are you rich? And he's like, no. And she's like, never mind.
I'm not interested.
And he's like, mine's not. I don't know. Every time they try to do...
like a side romance, you're like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care because your idea of romance is gross to me on the face of it.
Like, it really is.
Just like the way he talks is supposed to be cute flirting.
But it's really just kind of gross.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you going to do?
You ask me what I don't ship? There you go. I don't ship that. But the doctor gets back and tells unit Cybermen, and a lot of them. The Brig gets a phone call from the political guy, whose name's Rutledge, by the way, and tells him, hey, you gotta stop what you're doing. The Brig's like, no, bye, basically.
And then you can't tell the Brig what to do. He's going to do the right thing. Everyone else be damned, because he's the Brigadier.
And so Rutledge calls Vaughn back. He's like, he said no.
He said, I'm the Brigadier. You can't tell me what to do.
And Vaughn's like, come in here. I need to talk to you. He's mind-controlling Rutledge.
He's been brain-wiggled.
But the mind control that Vaughn has over Rutledge is getting weaker, and so... But he questions Rutledge about some stuff, so he can get the intel. Okay, Vaughn also tells Packer to get Watkins' machine, which is presumably done now, I guess, for, they're going to have a test.
You're gonna test this machine! What do you think the machine does, Joe?
We'll see. We get more cyber hatchings. The Cybermen have new helmets and a new voice.
I like both those things.
Yeah, they're pretty good now.
I can understand the Cybermen 90% of the time when they're talking. The other 10% is just because I'm a bad listener.
Their helmet looks so good. We've come so far from a tube sock.
I'm a pretty big fan of this version of them. They got big squares on their head.
So they're like, we think we can get in there by the sewers or something.
Yes.
And the sewers are dry now. But Isabel's like, robot people, I find that hard to believe. The Brig is like, Yetis happened. Do we not remember when Yetis happened?
I was there for that one.
Those were fucking robots too. Then the doctor's like, I want to see all of the equipment you guys have that is made by EI. Because I have a theory that it's a demon.
A dancing demon.
No, wait, something isn't right there. I got a theory. Some kid is dreaming and we're all stuck inside his wacky Broadway nightmare.
No.
Okay. I can do the whole song.
Don't.
So Vaughn's got the machine. He's going to test it on a Cyberman. They put these it's like a stethoscope type of thing.
It is actually a stethoscope.
Yeah, and then they're putting it on the Cyberman, like, where his ears would be. But it doesn't really fit. Like, there's, like, no holes there or anything. So they, like, almost slide off. It's really funny. And he's like, let's induce fear, because it's an emotion machine. They're going to put fear into the Cybermen just to see what happens, because that's a good idea.
I want to know what happens if they put love.
Of course you want to know what happens if they put love.
I want to know what happens when you teach a robot to love.
Well, we don't learn that because we just see fear. And the Cyberman just freaks the fuck out, slaps the shit out of Packer, and just like,
Fucked up a perfectly good Cyberman is what you did.
Look at it. It's got anxiety. And it's great. They're like, what do we do? And like, he's like, the Cyberman goes off in this hallway and they're in the hallway like, it's getting away. What do we do? And he's like, it's fine. Let it do whatever. But we're going to give these Cybermen more emotions. And they're having this chat in the hallway. And just in the background, you see the Cyberman like climbing down a ladder just very slowly. Really, like they're not paying attention to it at all. And it's really hilarious.
Good, like, background gag.
I don't know if it was intentional or not, but it was pretty hilarious. So Isabel is like, I want to go with you guys. I want to go to the sewers, find these Cybermen, and take a picture of them, because that's what she does. I take pictures.
Well, there's a whole thing of...
No one's going to believe it.
Yeah, the Brigadier's trying to get the people above him to, like, let him take people. It's a big company, so we can't just, like, take people into the company and... Because, you know, they're powerful and shit. You can't just, like, invade a company or people will, like, be upset with you. So he needs proof so that he can do what he needs to do. And Isabel's like, what about photographic evidence? I have a camera.
And he's like, that's a man's job.
And Jamie's like, yeah, that's definitely a man's job. Because Jamie's an idiot.
And Isabel's pissed. And she's like, that's the most anti-feminist.
She was on a rant. And yeah, she uses the word anti-feminist. She's like, of all the idiotic anti-feminists, I think she says bigoted. Which I was like, oh, I am shocked to be hearing these words.
Yeah, and then Jamie like makes it worse. Isabel's mad. Zoe's mad at Jamie. And then they're just both like, well, we're going to go do it anyway.
And then they do.
Jamie comes with them.
Jamie comes with them in the whole time.
What's going on?
Because Jamie's line is like, he's like, oh, calm down. He's, you know, he's not saying that, like, men are better than women. And then Jamie's like, I mean, they are. Jamie, why do I let you get away with these things? Why do I let you get away with things I would never let another character get away with? It's because he's cute.
That's like Ben level of shit right there.
Yeah, it totally is. It totally is. But he, you know, he says this and they're like, well, we're going anyway. Fuck you guys. And Jamie's like, no, we should wait. I'm scared and we should not do it. And the whole time he's like tagging along like, oh gosh, you guys.
Meanwhile, the doctor has studied all the EI equipment that the unit base has. And
can you say EI? Every time you've been saying it. EI is a classification of television programming. Every time you say it, that's what he's looking at, the EI. And I was like, the what? Oh.
EI is the building. Is it EI or is it IE? It's EI.
EI, which is educational. Informational television.
But he's looking at all the equipment that they've made in the base, and they all have that circuit that was like in Jamie's radio that they don't know what it does. What does it do? I don't know. We will know eventually. So Vaughn's having another chat with the being behind his wall, the robot light bulb thing behind his wall, and they're like, stuff's not going great. We're going to destroy all humans. And Vaughn's like, no, don't do that. And like, destroy all humans.
But like, that's kind of our deal. We're kind of here to destroy all humans.
Like, if you won't let us do that, can we maybe convert you to us? And he's like, you can convert my body, but not my mind, which is a hint at things. And then the Brig and the Doctor realize that Jamie, Zoe, and Isabel have left to take photos. So they're like, well, we gotta go get them now. They do. They go into the sewers. This very stereotypical cop sees them go into the sewers. I'm like, what are you kids doing in there? You can't go in there. And follows them in.
Guys, that cop is super dead.
Does he die? I don't remember.
Yeah, he dies.
Oh.
He gets straight up murdered.
I don't remember that, but okay, I believe you.
By a cyber guy.
So they do go into the sewers, and they do see a Cyberman. The Cybermen are coming down the sewer, and Isabel starts taking photos. Oh, yeah, you're right. They do. They kill the cop, but it's like, it's the same effect that the Daleks use for extermination. Well, there's Cybermen coming from both directions at Jamie, Zoe, and Isabel, including Scarecrow Cybermen, full of fear.
Scarecrow Cybermen. I identified with him so much. Everything is terrifying! What am I doing?
That's the end of episode 5, and we're now into episode 6, which I've called Can't Stop the Signal. Scarecrow Cyberman just walks right by them.
What a scarecrow is. A scarecrow itself isn't scared. A scarecrow is scary.
I don't know. I just called him Scarecrow Cyberman.
commit to your wrongness.
I will. But anyway, the fearful, feared out Cyberman walks right by them because he's too self-involved with his own newly found emotions. But then the normal Cybermen are coming at them. But they are just distracted by this weird Cyberman of theirs that's freaking the fuck out. And then Unit shows up and it starts attacking and they all get out of the sewer. And then there's like one of the Cybermen grabs Jamie as he's climbing out of the sewer. And it's very weird. Like,
it's so slow.
The music does not change at all. I didn't even notice that the Cyberman was grabbing him for a minute. I was like, what is he caught on? Oh, it's a Cyberman.
There's no sense of urgency or drama because it's just like, stop it. Stop it. Let go. Drop it. Like, it's not...
And then they get the Cybermen off of him, and they drop a grenade on him. So they all go back to the base. Unit develops the photos that Isabel took, and they
look fake.
They're all kind of blurry. This looks like she took pictures of Bigfoot. What if Cybermen are just blurry? That would be a Mitch Hedberg joke if Mitch Hedberg had been on Doctor Who. And then, like, Vaughn is at his office window monologuing to Packer about how they're going to control the world. I just said, soon we will control everything the light touches. And then while we're watching it, I just started quoting Lion King line for line. Tony's like, how much of that movie do you know? Fun fact, I once wrote the script out longhand, the entire Lion King script, for my friend and I to act out on the bus to school. By the time I finished it, I was homeschooled and never saw him again.
How much of that script do you know? Like, go.
The Lion King. No, I'm not going to do it. Santa Sana, Squash Banana, Wee Wee Nugu, Mimi Apana? So, Zazu. No, wait. Let's talk about Doctor Who.
Are you okay?
I'm lost.
Where?
So, Watkins has now delivers an updated version of the Emotion Box. Fixes some settings, I guess.
It's stronger now than ever before.
Better, faster, stronger, scarier, feelier. Vaughn uses the Emotion Box on Watkins.
Almost kills him,
yeah. And then Watkins just confirms that Vaughn is the bad guy. Like, his entire speech is like, you're really bad. You're bad. You're so bad. And I'm gonna kill you.
This scene gets intense. He's like, oh, you're gonna kill me? Really? Really? Alright, here's my fucking gun.
He's like, shoot me. And like, Watkins is like, whoa. And then Vaughn slaps Watkins right in the face.
Right across the face! And is like, fucking shoot me!
So he does. And then you don't see what happens, and then Watkins passes out, faints. And then we just see Vaughn with like bullets in his chest laughing.
Oh my god. As like, I feel the need to specifically say, because we are like, there's a lot of filler in this. It's kind of, there are things that are kind of a mess. That's an amazingly written scene.
The only problem with that scene is when like Watkins is having his little tirade about how you're bad and evil and I'm going to kill you. There's two people holding him. There's like, one of them's a scientist. The scientist looks a little bit like Ray Friesen, I want to say.
He does.
Previous guest. And this guy has nothing to do during this scene, but he is overacting like hell with his face.
He's crying so hard, like,
I am shocked and worried about the events that are happening right now. His eyes are darting back and forth, and he just sort of...
He moves, like, entirely too much.
It's great. Background actors are the best. Then Isabel makes tea. Again, happens twice. Coffee wants tea this time.
This is an 8-parter. Had to do it again.
And this time it's part of flirting with Jimmy.
Who we are super uninterested in. Jimmy's not boyfriend material. You can do better.
And then Unit gets permission to rescue Watkins. And then we just cut to like this guy being like, Unit came in and took Watkins. And there was nothing I could do.
We just zipped right over an entire rescue operation.
That does not happen, you guys.
We don't skip over anything on this show. We show you literally everything.
It literally went from, you have permission to save him, to he's saved.
Something bad happened. Like, footage got messed up. Like,
it had to have. Like, how do you not have an entire rescue mission? Like, that seems like something that would pad out an episode, a serial.
Right, if you're doing stuff for a time, like, that sounds like I got something I'd kind of like to watch. At this point, though, we're in episode, like, 6, and we still got, like, 2 more episodes to go. So, it's probably fine. It's probably good.
So, the doctor questions Watkins, finds out that Vaughn actually plans to attack the Cybermen with emotions.
With his emotion gun.
And Jamie takes a nap.
Jamie takes a nap and people keep trying to like ask him questions and talk to him, and he's like, can I not have 5 minutes of peace, please?
And eventually he's like, all right, fine. What's happening? The doctor explains that the Cybermen, where they've set up with the moon and everything, they're going to boost this signal that's going to go all over the world and take over everyone, mind control them. And
they're all going to get brain wiggled.
It has to do with the circuits, right?
Yes, the circuits that are in the radios that everybody has.
And so they're like, we're going to start making some weapons against the Cybermen. Episode slows down. There's more fucking flirting that I don't care about.
Don't care.
And then the signal happens, and the doctor passes out.
Yeah, you kind of glossed over it. They made weapons, but it wasn't weapons. It's
the thing that goes on their neck. Yeah, right?
It keeps them from getting brain wiggled. Anyone who's wearing, I forget what they're called, but it's a little thing. It goes on your neck, and it keeps you from being mind controlled. The signal goes off, and the doctor goes, "Oh, I think mine fell off," and falls down to the floor.
And everyone starts getting brain wiggled. And the Cybermen bust out of the sewers. Like, they knock the little sewer grate thing up.
It flies in the air. That sucker flew. It was cool.
They're crawling out and they're marching. And that's the end of episode 6. We are now into episode 7, which I've called Chain Reaction. And this is the episode that doesn't have Cybermen in it.
They just invaded. They showed up in the tail end of episode 4. They did shit in episode 5. In episode 6, they invade. They're winning. And then in episode 7, they all take a nap.
Yeah, I think the only instance you get of them is them, like, marching at the beginning, which is just the recap. And then I'm pretty sure they're not in this episode at all. If they are, they have so little influence on what happens that I didn't write it down. So they fix up the doctor, and he wakes up, and he's fine. He's a little wobbly. The brig sending for them. And there's a great bit where, like, someone's calling Jimmy, who's the guy I don't think Isabel should hook up with.
Yes. Jimmy's the one who's not boyfriend material.
He's not a bad guy necessarily, but
yeah. No.
But like, someone says something about getting Jimmy, and the doctor's like, it's Jamie.
He's not a bad guy, but he's not good enough for your best friend. Like, you'd be friends with him, and then he's like, oh, you know what, I'm super interested in this friend of yours, and you're just like, she's dead. You can't. No one else has ever done that.
I know what you're talking about. It's happened to us, maybe. Anyway, Vaughn is chatting with his wall unit. They're like, we're taking over, we're doing this. And he's like, no, you gotta let me do the thing. I understand how the world works. You don't understand how the world works. And they're like, we control the world, motherfucker. And he's like, just let me do my thing. Let me do my thing. Trust me. And they're kind of like, yeah, okay, I guess.
Whatever. It's not worth the effort to kill you yet.
Wait a second. I forgot, at some point, I forgot to mention, and I don't know when this actually happened, because when we were watching this episode itself, I didn't realize when it happened. For some reason, Jamie and the doctor and all of them are at Isabel's, at Watkins' apartment.
They go back.
I don't remember when they went there, but they're there now. That's why the brig is sending for them, and Unit arrives to pick up everyone, but Vaughn has sent out his people to get Watkins as well, so a gunfight ensues. And they're all trying to escape and get to a helicopter. Jamie gets shot very unceremoniously, and he's out of this episode because he was on holiday. I think it's even like a Jamie's double who gets shot. I didn't even really notice it. I was like, did he get shot? And then it just moved to the next scene, and I was like, I don't know, maybe?
Yeah, it is. It does happen very quickly. It's not like a plot point, Jamie got shot, like, oh my god, Jamie, are you okay? He's like, he'll be okay. He's fine.
It's not like way later that we hear, Jamie got a flesh wound, and we're like, oh, okay. But they're trying to figure out how to take care of the Cybermen invasion. They're like, we only had a missile. And they're like, well, the Russians were going to launch an astronaut capsule before this whole thing went down. So maybe if we get to Russia, we can, it should be ready to launch. And then we can send a thing into space to take them out.
And put warheads on the capsule.
The doctor's like, well, I'm going to go talk to Vaughn and see if I can talk some sense into him and take the sewers. And then the doctor drives a car, which is the first time he's ever driven a car, I feel like.
I feel like it offended you.
It feels weird.
Man, I have some bad news for you.
I know. I am aware. I know, third doctor, right?
Yes.
But he gets to the sewers. He goes down. He doesn't know which direction to go. So he literally flips a coin? All right, that way.
Which ends up working out for him. Again, the doctor's a big fan of 50-50 chances. They always seem to work out for him.
50-50 chances work out 100% of the time. That's almost a Discworld quote. So he's in the sewers. He calls up Vaughn on the little three circular wall unit thing. And he's like, hey, maybe you should stop this. And then he's like, no. And he's like, hold on, I'm going to come up. It literally is like with that sort of tone. I'm just like, I am a little, just give me a second. I'll be right there. The doctor is going to go talk to Vaughn and leave his mic. He's got a microphone on and he's going to leave it on so that unit can listen to him.
Got that little receiver on him still.
So they have a chat and Vaughn's all like, I'm super awesome and amazing and great and wonderful. And the Cybermen do what I say because I'm great and wonderful and awesome. And the doctor's like, you're an idiot is what you are. They're going to you over.
They're going to kill you as soon as you're not useful to them anymore.
And he's like, but it's fine. I've got this machine that's going to take out the Cybermen, this emotion machine. He's like, well, you're going to need more of them because there's going to be a shit ton of them. And he's like, you need Watkins for that. But the doctor has Watkins.
He's so smug when he says it. He's like, and we have Watkins. And he just, the smugness in his face when he says it.
Meanwhile, unit has gone to a missile base, gone to a base that has missiles. Everyone is zonked out, and they start putting the neck things on. And it just looks like Zoe is massaging a guy to life.
She does. It just works. Massages him until he wakes back up.
They turn their radar on to see where things are, and it's not super great, but I don't know.
What did that sentence mean?
The radar.
It's not super great.
Their radar. It doesn't reach out far enough to see their spaceship.
Oh, the range of the radar.
The range of the radar is not super great, but they're doing what they can with what they've got. I was a little confused at this point because I was like, is this Russia? I know they were going to Russia, but this is something completely separate. It wasn't Russia. This, I guess Russia was for to send things to the spaceship.
To the spaceship, and this was to shoot missiles.
The incoming invasion.
Yes.
Okay, it makes sense now. They're trying to shoot the incoming Cybermen that are coming down in, I guess, tinier ships or capsules, I guess.
And Zoe's like, I can do this with math.
Yeah, I know my shit. She's like, I'm gonna cause a chain reaction. I'll figure out what you need to do, and you shoot that, and it'll cause one ship to blow up, which will cause another ship to blow up, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, you don't have time to figure this out. And she's like, I need 35 seconds or something like that. And the Briggs like, let her do it.
Give it to her.
And so she does. She goes around and figures things out. It works. The first group of invading Cybermen get blown to shit from Zoe's mathematical genius. The Cybermen are pissed at Vaughn over this. They're like, what the fuck? We got blown up. I thought everyone was taken over. Who are these people rebelling against us? And he's like, don't worry. I've got it under control. I'll take care of it. Blah, blah, blah. And they're like, you know what? Fuck you. And they zap him. And the doctor's like, I told you. That's the end of the episode. It's the doctor being like, I told you. And we are now into episode 8, the final episode, which I have called Turn Off the Radio. Tony shook her head no. So the Cybermen are like, we're going to destroy all humans like we've been wanting to do since episode 2. Because they weren't in episode 1. They weren't in episode 2 either. But yeah, were there any Cybermen in that episode, you guys? No.
No.
None.
Episode 8, there are Cybermen in this one again.
Finally. And then everyone congratulates Zoe on being super awesome.
Because she is, and we love her. She's the best.
One guy's like, we should keep her because she's prettier than a computer, which is a little weird. But their celebrations are cut short when they're like, there's a giant bomb coming towards us. What do? Vaughn's pissed that things are not going his way, so he blows up the thing behind his wall with the emotion machine. The doctor's like, you need to turn off, you have an open communication thing between Earth and the Cybermen ship. You need to turn that off because they're using that for something or other.
The bomb.
You need to turn off your radio control thing there. Then a Cyberman tries to attack him, and the doctor shoots the Cyberman with emotions. Does it explode?
It just kind of dies. They increase the power, and now instead of making them run around screaming, they just kind of die from fear.
From feels?
They have too many feels.
Meanwhile, Russia, the Russian thing, sending that's going to take like 10 hours to send their warhead thing into the ship. That's too much time.
Yeah, it's going to take the Cybermen like 10 hours to...
Less than 10 hours.
Yeah.
So it's up to the doctor to try to convince Vaughn to do the turn off the radio thing. And Vaughn, like, just waffles about it for like 10 minutes, but just like, oh, but I'm evil. I can't do that because I'm evil, but I will do it. But not because I'm a good guy, because I hate them damn Cybermen. They destroyed my dream. He literally says that.
That's an actual line he has. They destroyed my dream of being the most evil bad guy and being in charge of everything. But can we talk about it for a little bit? Who wants that? That's such a terrible evil plan. Like, you know what I want? I want total control of everything. No, you don't.
You don't?
I don't know.
You don't want total control of everything?
No.
You're so naive.
I'd rather have... I mean, like, if I was a villain, I'd rather be for... I don't want to be in control. I don't have to, like, make decisions. I want things to be taken care of for me, but not control. I would probably take, like, chaos over control.
Now you have an insight into what Tony would be like as a villain.
You don't want to rule the whole world.
I was under the impression that everybody wants to rule the world. I'm pretty sure a very popular song said so.
No, there's another song that says, I don't want the world, I just want your half. It's not a very popular song, but it's a good one.
Mine's more popular, so therefore more true. Rush is almost ready for liftoff. There's not much time, but they're like, shoot everything you got. We just do it. Pew, 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 pew.
Make all the pew-pews.
Missiles. Wah, 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 wah. Warheads. Wah, 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 wah. I don't know why they go wah, 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 wah.
That's just the sound missiles make.
Yeah. Wah, 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 wah. Then there's like stock footage. Tons of stock footage of missiles. So the brig's gonna come help the doctor.
You sound very uncertain about that.
Oh, yeah. The doctor calls in with checks in with the brig and says they're going to try to stop, turn off the radio. And the brig's like, well, I'm going to come to you and help you out. And Zoe and Isabel are like, we want to go too. And he's like, all right, I guess you guys are proving yourself.
The last time I told you not to do something, you just did it anyway.
Honestly, that didn't actually go very well. You got really blurry pictures. Good job.
And people died.
But Zoe did that cool thing where she blew up all the ships. So, Isabel, you're sneaking in with Zoe. Vaughn and the doctor are sneaking up. And Vaughn's like, oh, there's one of the Cybermen. I'm going to go blow it up with emotions. And the doctor's like, no, we don't need to action movie our way into this. We need to sneak around. We need to sneak in there. Because if we just blow them up, that's going to call all of them to us. Don't be an idiot. And he's like, all right, fine. So they sneak around. They're on the roof of a building. And they do bump into a Cyberman. And then they shoot it with the thing. And it falls right off the roof.
It's a shot from the ground, and you see just the, like, cyber, like, it's, I guess
it's
like
just the suit.
Yeah, like, but it's stuffed a little bit, and you just toss it over the roof of the building, and it's pretty good. I enjoyed it.
The unit shows up, starts blowing up Cybermen, shooting at them. Stuff explodes. There's a bazooka.
They all have bazookas. They
blow up bazookas. Isabel's going around taking pictures of the Cybermen that have exploded. The downed Cybermen. Which, when they get shot, it's really, with the bazooka, it's, like, really weird. Because, like, they're marching forward and they get shot and they stop for a second and stagger backwards, weirdly, and then fall down.
Yeah, I don't know what was up with that.
It was a very weird shot. I don't know. Vaughn and the doctor get to the door and it's surrounded by like four Cybermen. Oh, no, wait, that's not what happened. They get to the place, there's suspiciously no one around it. And the doctor's like concerned. And Vaughn's just like, I'm going to go ahead and go on in. The Cybermen were hiding. And they shoot Vaughn.
He dies, yo.
And he almost get the doctor. Like, they're shooting at him. He's running down this alleyway and he's like jumping the shots and holding his butt. I don't know why he's so worried about protecting his butt.
I don't know. This series so action movie-y. Like, that's him running down the thing. There are, like, little explosions happening.
Oh, and I also heard, like, this was basically a test for what next season would become of changing the format to being more Earth-based, fighting invasions and shits, and, you know, including UNIT more. So this was, like, a test to see how that would work, and then to prove that it could be done not expensively. Paradoxically, this was the most expensive serial for, like, a while.
Was it really?
Yeah. At least that's what it said on the wiki. Anyway, the unit stops the Cybermen. The doctor's like, you gotta go turn the thing off. He's, like, laying down on the ground, and, like, Isabel comes up and starts taking pictures of him. He's like, hey, Oh, and then he just, like, starts fixing his collar and posing for the pictures. So adorable.
It's good.
Like I said, this is the most doctor he's been in a while. I feel like, I don't know.
Oh, you think so?
The silly things he's done is so great in this serial.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the flip of the coin, the posing for pictures, stuff like that. It's so good.
I'm a big fan of Two and his just silliness.
Sitting down and, like, dealing out cards. For no reason. Then the ship's starting to come down because they think it's going to launch. It's coming in to launch the bomb. They do turn off the radio. Since that's turned off, they move in closer to launch the bomb.
Yes, so they don't have to use the radio.
So if they, like, wait around and hope that they time it out right and shoot the ship down, and they do.
They do.
They shoot some missiles, stuff explodes, in space.
The day is saved.
Hooray. And then Zoe models some more. Hooray. We find out Isabel is gonna, due to her pictures.
Yeah, she took all those pictures of the Cyberman invasion and sold them for Buko Bucks. And is now going to travel the world and take pictures.
Which is nice. And then Jimmy and Isabel are officially an item, I guess.
Which is okay.
They're going to go leave. And, like, Isabel's like, can I come with? Jimmy's like, as long as you don't call me.
When he showed up, she was like, there he is, my soldier. And when she asked to go with, he said, yeah, as long as you don't call me your soldier in front of the brigadier.
But they all go to the farm.
TARDIS is still invisible, you guys.
So they're just like wandering around with their arms outstretched, and like Isabel and Jimmy are like, what the fuck are they doing?
Did they get the circuits repaired?
I guess so. Well, I mean, they rescued Watkins and stuff, so.
So we just assume.
Yeah. I think he actually says they got that. Oh, and before they head off into the field, they're all like, goodbye! And they do, like, this weird high-fiving thing.
Who is it? It's the doctor. Like, everyone's saying goodbye, and, like, there's handshakes. And well, I think it's Isabel and the doctor end up just sort of touching hands. And they don't shake hands. They just hold their hands flat up against each other for a little bit. And it's not like a high-five where they just both, like, yeah, it was like a slow touching of hands, and they both are kind of like,
this is awkward.
This is Bye. Not how this was meant to go. Okay, we should leave now.
And then they're going around and looking really stupid, wandering around in the field with their arms outstretched.
Trying to find the TARDIS. Which when the TARDIS first is like, oh gosh, the TARDIS is invisible. How are they going to find it? What a weird thing that's never happened on the show before. What consequences will this have? They just find it.
They find it.
The doctor actually is like, sighs because he can't find it and leans up against it.
He like slightly disappears behind a split screen. He's like, aha! And they go in, the TARDIS appears again and disappears.
Just it appears enough time for
everyone to get in and disappear.
Jimmy and Isabel to be like, what? That's pretty nuts, you guys, right?
That's the end. That's the end of the invasion.
We did it! That's the end! We did another one!
Final thoughts! I'm a little tired of Cybermen, to be honest. But this wasn't a bad one. This is probably one of the stronger Cybermen serials we've had. Mostly because the Brig's in it. I mean, I like the Brig. And the Team TARDIS is good to Team TARDIS. There's enough funny things happening. There's nothing. It's definitely too long. It's 8 episodes. That's too long. Probably definitely padded a bit here and there, but there's nothing like bad happening in it. There's nothing where I'm like, eh, other than like Jimmy and Isabel. But I really like Isabel. I like her a lot. I even like Jimmy okay. I just don't like the relationshipy stuff.
We just have a high bar when it comes to the relationships we will and will not ship.
It's just mostly the bad flirting, that badly written flirting, yeah, that I don't like. But overall, it was fun. It was interesting. The bad guy was deliciously evil. There were some really strongly written scenes, like the scene where Vaughn tells Watkins to shoot him. It's really good. There's some really good like action sequences. Like the final battle's like really pretty well done. The helicopter escape was fun. The elevator thing was fun. I really would like to see the helicopter rescue. I wish it existed. But yeah, all in all, I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. I mean, it's definitely probably not like the best serial of two, but I'd say it's probably the best Cybermen serial we've had, even though Cybermen are barely in it. Cybermen are in this, you guys.
Cybermen are in this.
So yeah, that's my thoughts. What are your thoughts?
I am a big fan of how action-y this serial is.
Well, that's strange for you. You tend to not...
I don't like a lot of action scenes, no. It was fight scenes.
It's fight scenes?
Yeah, okay. I tune out during fight scenes because it... Like, especially when it's, like, shaky cam, and I'm like, I can't visually keep up with what's happening, so I'm just gonna tune out until I can figure out who's winning. But no, I don't know, it's nice to see them shooting things on location and doing, you know, stunts.
There was a lot of handheld work in this as well.
There was a lot of hand.
Interesting.
It's always nice to see Doctor Who do anything new, you know? Or it's like, oh, it gives you a kind of a heads up of like, this show is getting ready to go in a different direction than it's been going in, and it seems like it'll be good. I'm totally up for it. Let's do it.
That's what we're going to get next season. Also, I want to say apologies to Benton that I don't remember you. I'm sure you were great in this episode, this serial, and I know you're going to be a bigger part in the future. I will try to pay attention next time. But if you like this episode, check out more on WatchYourAssalon.com. Be sure to rate and comment on our iTunes. Please, leave a review. Anything. Just say something. We're desperate. If you'd like to help us out even more, go to WatchYourAssalon.com/support And there you'll find a link to our Patreon page, which you can get to just by going to patreon.com/watchathon. There you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards, like videos of us watching the episodes, uncut video of the podcast records, and day early episodes. Also on our support page is a link to our Amazon wish list, where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD for us. We'll mention you in the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. And speaking of, again, special thanks to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Thanks, Matt. You're the best.
You can follow him on Tumblr at mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com. That's tumbles without an E because it's Tumblr. I say that every time and I enjoy saying it. But yeah, thanks, Matt. Thanks for doing that. You're awesome. Tune in next time when we talk about the Crotons with special guest Chris Cherry.
I know him.
I don't know what the Crotons is about at all.
I don't know, but I know it all exists.
Do you think it has anything to do with robotic croutons?
God, I hope so.
We'll find out. Keep calm and wrestle on! See you guys. Have fun.
We love you.
Smooches.
I hate computers and refuse to be bullied by them.